5. Please stand for the sermon reading. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So I have a question for you to think about with me this morning as I begin. And that is, what is the most thankless job that you can think of? Right, a thankless job is usually a job where, you know, an individual's efforts are just, they're just not really adequately appreciated, not adequately recognized. A week and a half ago, our family got back from a vacation to the Pacific Northwest in Oregon and Washington. It was a great trip. One thing we were dreading, though, was that our return flight was scheduled to get back to Minneapolis at midnight. So that meant, you know, getting back home around 2 a.m. or so. It was going well. There was no problems with the flight. Even got in a little early. My brother was there to meet us. We just had to wait for our luggage. And the first two bags appeared right away, but then the last bag didn't show up. Right, the dreaded lost luggage situation. And so my wife, Janelle, had to go back and talk to whoever deals with the lost luggage. And I don't know what that job title is, right? Let's call them the lost luggage retriever, something like that. But can you imagine that's your job? That has to be one of the most thankless jobs out there, right? You work 30 years and you never see a happy person your whole career, right? You only encounter tired, angry people who have lost their luggage, right? And you didn't cause the problem. It's not your fault, but you have to deal with it. Now, our story worked out pretty well because the last bag had just gotten stuck at the top of the baggage carousel, and they just had to send somebody to get it down. But that's a thankless job. And it's not too hard to think of other thankless jobs. Oftentimes teachers, bus drivers, youth sports referees, nurses, hospital housekeepers. How about parents? Right, kids are not always great at being thankful, right? Nothing like spending thousands on your kids at, say, going to Disney World, and then they throw a fit when you don't get them their second $10 ice cream, you know, of the day. And there are a lot of people out there who go without much thanks or appreciation in the work they do. But there's perhaps one person who has the most thankless job of all, and that person is God, I'd say. Think about it. Who has done more for us than God, but received so little thanks in comparison? Today we're jumping back into our sermon series entitled Respectable Sins, Confronting the Sins That We Tolerate. And again, this series is based on a book by Jerry Bridges with the same title. And what we're going to see doing, what we're doing in this series is looking at those so-called lesser sins that we can easily ignore or tolerate, even accept. And this series is important for two reasons. First, we have to be reminded that each of us is a great sinner. We can't be blind to our own sinfulness, because only sinners need Jesus, right? Only when we see the greatness of our sin will we understand our great need for Jesus. And for a lot of us, the sins that we maybe most often struggle with might be sins that we tolerate and we don't even know it. And so we're bringing these sins to light in this series. And this series is also important because we need to be reminded that no sin, no matter how small it seems, is insignificant. Right? In reality, there are no small sins. All sin has the potential to grow, to be deadly and destructive in our lives, and so we need to take all sin in our lives seriously. And today we're thinking about the sin of unthankfulness. And specifically, the lack of thankfulness and gratitude that we might extend to God. The Bible is filled with references where we're encouraged, we're implored to give thanks to God. The word thanks, or forms of this word like thankful or thanksgiving, occur about 150 times in the Bible. And most of the time it refers, these words are used to refer to giving thanks to God. And the Psalms in particular implore us to give thanks to God. Psalm 136:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Or Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." Or Psalm 147 says, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre." Now, I think we can ask the question, you know, why is there such an emphasis in the Bible on giving thanks to God? Why is this so important for people of faith? And I think the answer is, it should be obvious to us. God simply deserves our constant thanks for all that he has done for us. He is the creator of all things. All that we have comes from him. Every planet, every mountain, lake, stream, every possession we have comes from God. Not only that, but all that we are comes from him. In Acts 17, the Apostle Paul tells the people of Athens that God himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. And then in verse 28, he says, "In him we live and move and have our being." Right? Every breath we draw is a gift from God. Every skill you have, every talent, ability, character, they're all gifts from God. And even further, we have so much to be thankful for in all the ways that God is active in our lives. And that includes God's most important work of saving us by his grace through Jesus Christ. He has given us the gift of life now and in eternity. And for that, he deserves our eternal thanks. And so the Bible implores us again and again to give thanks to God. But here's maybe the question, you know, if we might wonder, you know, if we don't, is that really sin? And then here's kind of the other hard part about this. How do you measure this sort of sin? Right? How do you know when you've been thankful enough or you've fallen short of that? Do you have to thank God one time a day, five times, 10 times? It's not like murder when you know you did it or you didn't do it. And so I think it's important, though, to understand that there's no easy checklist when it comes to thankfulness. That's not what it's about. Instead, thankfulness, it's about the heart. What the Bible encourages is a life marked by great heartfelt thankfulness to God. In Romans 1, the Apostle Paul talks about those who deny God and what he's done for us. He writes this: "Ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made. So they are without excuse, for though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened." Right, Paul here, he criticizes them for their sin of unthankfulness. They knew God, all the things that all things came from him, and yet they didn't honor him, didn't give him credit. Now, not only are we to give thanks to God because he deserves it, but also because a life marked by unthankfulness also leads to other and greater sins even in our lives. Again, all sin has the potential to grow, to spread in our lives, to the lives of others. And I think there are two main dangers with unthankfulness to God. And we could think of each one kind of being on the opposite end of a spectrum. On the one hand, unthankfulness to God can pretty easily lead to feelings of discontent with your life. And this can happen particularly when we're unsatisfied with the circumstances of your life and yet you can't do anything about it. And there are so many ways that we can find ourselves in discontentment. You can be discontent with your job. Maybe it's unfulfilling or stressful or low paying. You can be discontent that you're still single in the middle ages of your life. Discontent that you've been unable to have children, discontent with your marriage, discontent with a disability you struggle with, or continual poor health. You can be discontent with your looks or the things you have or don't have, your house, your car, your possessions, your bank account. And discontentment as well, it runs the risk of being sinful. In fact, Jerry Bridges in his book has a whole chapter on discontentment. But here's the thing, the remedy for discontentment is thankfulness. Because what thankfulness does is it takes our eyes off of what we don't have, and it places them on all that we do have. And in doing that, the focus of your life changes. Now, I do want to say this, though. Not only should we give thanks to God for what he's given us, what he's done for us, but our greatest thankfulness should actually be in God himself. Beth Moore, who's you probably heard of her, she's a famous Christian author, teacher. She writes about the temptation for us to find our contentment in the blessings of God rather than in God himself. And she writes this. She says, we often know enough not to ascribe our security to carnal, worldly things. But our greater and our slyer temptation is to place our security in the blessings we readily credit to the Lord. We can grow secure in the favor God has shown us, but God's favor and his person are not synonymous. If our trust is in the manifestations of God's favor rather than God himself, we will crumble like dry clay when he calls us to walk a distance of our journeys entirely by faith and not by sight. God is with us and for us even when his face and his favor seem hidden. And so do you see what she's saying there? We have to make this distinction between the blessings of God and God himself. We can't just trust our contentment to the blessings God has given us. Instead, it has to be in God himself, in the person, because sometimes those blessings won't always be there. And so can we be content with God himself, even when he's not always giving us what we want or what we need? And so one danger to unthankfulness is discontentment. On the other end of the spectrum, when life is going really well for us and we have no complaints, the danger here is that unthankfulness can then lead to pride. When life is going really well for us, but we're not giving the credit, giving the glory, giving the thanks to God, what that means is that we're usually giving the credit and the glory and the thanks to someone or something else. And usually that person is ourselves. Right? What thankfulness does is that it also takes our eyes off of ourselves and what we've achieved and puts them on God. Right? It's easy to give all the credit to ourselves and think, you know, I'm the star athlete because I work so hard. Or I got this job because I'm so talented. Or my kids are so great because I raised them so well. Or I was able to turn my life around because of my perseverance, my character. That's pride. But in that pride, you've removed God and all that he did in your life to bring you where you are. This is what God warned the Israelites about. After he freed them from slavery in Egypt, Deuteronomy 11, he says this, take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then verse 18, he continues with, do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gained me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Right? This is what unthankfulness is in a nutshell, forgetting about the Lord and all that he has done for you. And that's, I think, our real danger today. How often do we just simply forget about the Lord and all he's done for us? And so I want to wrap it up today then by answering this question then. What does biblical thankfulness look like? And I want to show you two last scripture passages. The first one is Ephesians chapter 5. Paul says this, be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so here Paul pretty clearly tells us when to give thanks to God, and that is at all times and for everything. In other words, your whole life should be one of continually giving thanks to God. Now, I know that sounds, you know, maybe a little overzealous, probably unrealistic. You can't really spend every minute of every day saying words of thanks to God. But instead of taking this, I think, quite so literally, what's meant here is this understanding that thankfulness needs to just become a part of who you are as a person. As Christians, we need to become thankful people who have hearts of thankfulness. Thankfulness to God just becomes a habit for you, as it just becomes a part of your character. And, of course, this isn't something that just happens overnight. I think it begins by asking God for greater hearts of thankfulness, and it begins with small changes, small efforts to notice all the things we can be thankful for, and just saying in your heart that quick prayer of thanks to God. Seeing a sunset, giving thanks to God for it. Seeing your children wake up in the morning and giving thanks to God for another day with them. Eating a plain meal and thanking Him for His provision. Going to work and thanking Him for a steady income. Right? This is about a change in our hearts. And here's the last passage I want to share with you. Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Right? Paul, he takes it even further here. Not only are we to give thanks at all times and for everything, but even in all circumstances. And the assumption is we are to be thankful even in the circumstances that we would normally not be thankful for. Now, that might seem strange, right? How can you do such a thing? But what Paul is trying to point out to us is that even in hard circumstances, God is with us. He will not leave us or forsake us. Even in hard circumstances, we have so much to be thankful for. And sometimes God might even be using that hard circumstance for your good. There's a great story regarding this passage. I've shared it a couple times before. It comes from the book The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. And if you don't know her story, again, she was a woman living in Holland during World War II, and her family helped hide Jews during the Roman occupation of Holland. And eventually they're found out by the Nazis, they're arrested, and a good part of the book is her just describing the horrors of imprisonment and how her faith helped her to endure it. One of my favorite parts of the book happens when she describes one particular event when her and her sister are in a concentration camp. But they're able to have a Bible that's smuggled into them. And at night they would read the Bible, and this kind of growing circle of women would cluster around them to hear the hope of the gospel. But one of the worst parts of living there were the fleas in their beds. And in the book, Corrie says to her sister, Betsy, how can we live in such a place? And Betsy responds, but Corrie, he's given us the answer. Before we asked, as he always does, in the Bible this morning, where was it? Read that part again. I glanced down, this is Corrie speaking, I glanced down the dim aisle to make sure no guard was in sight, then drew the Bible from its pouch. It was in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's it, Corrie, Betsy said. That's his answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks. And I stared at her then, around me in the dark, fall-aired room, such as, I said. Betsy responded, such as being assigned here together, such as the Bible you're holding in your hands. Thank you, God, for the crowding here. Since we're packed so tightly, many more will hear. Thank you, Betsy went on serenely, for the fleas. And for the fleas, this was too much. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea. Give thanks in all circumstances, she quoted. Doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are a part of this place where God has put us. And so we stood between piles of bunks and gave thanks for fleas, but this time I was sure Betsy was wrong. But as you read on in the book, you learn later the fleas were a blessing. Because of the fleas, the supervisors never wanted to enter the barracks, and so they were able to have Bible studies with all this freedom and avoided all this abuse and harassment that other barracks might experience. And this is just a great example of how God oftentimes uses our difficult circumstances for good in our lives. And for that, we should give thanks, even when we can't see the good yet. Again, this series is about confronting those sins in our lives that we tolerate. Because oftentimes we need that reminder that we need Jesus. Each of us needs Jesus just as much as the next person. And your sin might not seem that big, that consequential, but whatever it is serious. And perhaps unthankfulness or just the forgetting to give thanks is one of the things that you struggle with. And so my hope today is that you would examine your life in this way, examine your hearts, ask yourself some hard questions. How often are you showing your thankfulness, your gratitude to God for all he's done for you? How thankful of a person are you? Bring your sin to Jesus, ask him to forgive it, and ask him to give you a new heart that is full of thankfulness to him. Let's pray.